This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Tuesday, December 22, 2015. I'm Caleb Brown. Hillary Clinton's support for so many U.S. military interventions shouldn't be forgotten. Chris Preble, Vice President for Defense and Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute, talks about Clinton's recent performances in Democratic debates relating to foreign policy.
Republicans have had a terrible time trying to differentiate themselves from Barack Obama, outlining strategies that are the same but better in some ways, as we've discussed before. So, how have Democrats like Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton done to make this strategy that doesn't appear to be working very well? What do they have to offer?
Well, the one thing that Bernie Sanders can say, which Hillary Clinton cannot, is that he voted against the Iraq War, and he says that consistently. And in the most recent debate, he also reminded people that he had voted against the first Gulf War. So he has, he believes, a fairly strong and credible track record of opposing U.S. military action abroad, whereas Hillary Clinton does not. In fact, Hillary Clinton has supported the use of force. She has subsequently expressed some regret for her vote in favor of the Iraq resolution in 2002. But in the most recent debate, there was quite a bit of discussion about the war in Libya. Clinton had a ready response to this. She pointed out that Bernie Sanders had voted for a resolution authorizing the UN Security Council to take action against Libya. So she believes it's hard for him to sort of hold himself out as being different from everyone else, because when the chips were down, when he had to make a call, he voted in favor of the resolution.
But a UN Security Council resolution is a very different thing than voting to authorize a fairly open-ended use of force in a country and surrounding areas against a particular or not too particular group of people.
I agree on style and to a certain extent on substance. I think Sanders won this particular part of the debate. And if nothing else, he mentioned several times the idea of unintended consequences of not thinking through the ramifications of the use of force. Again, there's an irony here because Bernie Sanders doesn't think through unintended consequences when it comes to doing any number of things in the domestic economy, which he seems not to understand that point. The trouble, of course, is that Bernie Sanders is not going to be the next president of the United States, and I don't believe that he is even a serious challenger to Hillary Clinton, which is why she, if anything, kind of tacked in a more hawkish direction over the last 48 to 72 hours. And it signals, I think, that she believes that at the end of the day, even if some liberals and progressives are unhappy with her support for the use of force in the past, that at the end of the day they'll support her and they won't stay home or take their vote somewhere else, and therefore she's likely to be fairly hawkish. As she has been, not really
very consistently.
Very consistently, not really exhibiting any lessons learned in terms of the Iraq War or the Libyan intervention. The way she applied it essentially to the war in Syria is, had we done the same thing in Syria that we did in Libya, that 250,000 Syrians wouldn't be dead right now. That's basically what she said in that debate. So I think the message is that that her regret is that we did not act more decisively in Syria 2 or 3 years ago. It's a reminder that while there are critics like Bernie Sanders or on the Republican side Rand Paul who reflect on U.S. foreign policy over the last 20 or so years and pointing out the high costs of being the world's policeman and the dubious benefits, pointing out the unintended consequences, pointing out that in our quest to spread liberty and democracy, we have certainly inadvertently, I think, created chaos instead and undermined our security. They make all of these points, and they are both on the fringes of the party, even though, again, the public opinion reveals quite a bit of agreement with them in terms of dissatisfaction of the public at large with U.S. foreign policy. But the durability of the elite consensus around intervention is quite strong. And the lesson that the interventionists take away is not kind of questioning the wisdom of going in the first place, but rather trying harder, doing more, being smarter about it, but just doing more of it. But more than, basically, is what it all comes down to. And it's unfortunate. It's sad. And I worry, of course, that it in the end undermines U.S. security, because there's very little evidence that the frequent interventions of the last 20 or 25 years have advanced U.S. security. And I think considerable evidence to the contrary, that they've actually undermined it.
Among Republicans, it is, I guess, a taboo to be critical of U.S. foreign policy decisions. I suppose it is somewhat less taboo among Democrats, but Hillary Clinton doesn't really do that. She's not
right.
She's not critical of this president particularly. Republicans want to be critical, but they have not a whole lot else to offer. It's in some ways it is the idea that American exceptionalism should be treated as just this sort of inherent, based on nothing, state of being that we possess and will possess forever into the future.
Right. I mean, I wish we would have a more honest and open debate about what it actually means to be exceptional. Because I certainly share an idea that the United States is an exceptional country, but I certainly disagree with the standard definition that the elites propose, which is that we are exceptional because we are willing to use force in a frequent fashion in many places, even when U.S. interests are not in any way engaged. So I think that's unfortunate. I do think that Republicans are willing to criticize foreign policy of a Democratic president, just as Democrats were more willing to criticize a foreign policy of a Republican president. But at the end of the day, there is this quite tidy consensus around the idea that the United States is the world's policeman. We should fight other people's wars for them so that they don't do it themselves. And that if our interventions unleash chaos in the aftermath, the lesson to take away is that we should have anticipated that and done more to prevent the chaos, not going in the first place.
Chris Preble is Vice President for Defense and Foreign Policy Studies at the Cato Institute. Read more of his work at cato.org.